Mistaken, I'm speaking to an invincible army.
Amen.
Because every one of you has been hit, knocked down, and you got back up again.
That's right. Yeah.
See, the invincible army doesn't mean you don't get knocked down. It just means that you get back up every time.
Amen.
And so that is saying something in this day.
Yes.
Because remember, this is Satan's Eden.
That's right. Yeah.
Satan has worked for 6,000 years to get everything just to the way it is his best.
Yes.
Right? And even at his best, he cannot defeat the bride because
Amen.
She stands on his word.
Amen.
So I applaud each one of you, amen, for being in the house of the Lord tonight, and those that are streaming, taking the time out of their week to do that. And we know that there's, if you take a step toward the Lord, we know that he takes a lot bigger step toward you.
Amen.
So we just appreciate you being so faithful. We're going to read tonight out of Malachi chapter 3 and 4, and then we'll go to 1 Peter. I'm going to title this tonight, The Testing of the Word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar scriptures to us. Somebody said, you know, I say, well, this is one of my favorite scriptures, you know, and somebody has said to me, or I've been in conversations where they've said, what's your favorite food? And I've said, my favorite food is whatever in my plate in front of me right now. You know, so that's my favorite.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's scripture, whatever
right.
it is that's in front of me, that's my favorite.
That's
right.
Right
now, next to me, it might be something else.
Yeah.
But anyway, we do have favorite scriptures. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 19. Testing of the word. And he loves the Lord.
Amen.
You hold in your hands in the Bible the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Always remember that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. How many wants to be joyful on that day?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for this little opportunity that you once again have given us to be here, a desire and breath in our bodies just to be able to speak and ears to hear. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've not left us just drifting in this world today, that you've come down and you give us something we can anchor to.
Yes.
We pray tonight, Lord, that you'll just break the bread of life to your children. I don't claim to do anything in myself, Lord, but just to surrender myself that you can use me, use my voice, and Lord, that you speak right into the hearts of each one of your children. God, that you'd bring clarity to them in their walk, give them courage and faith. And Lord, may they just be well established to know who they are and where they're at in your program tonight. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, he's thankful for a message.
Yes.
Amen. I don't know where I'd be without it.
Yeah.
I was raised in Pentecost, and I can tell you, I don't think I'd be going to the Pentecost church now because I don't think they just didn't have what it took, you know.
Right.
But we're so thankful for a message. And, you know, I don't remember exactly the gist of our conversation the other day, Brother Daniel and I talking outside there. But this message is God's lifeboat.
Yes.
He sent it.
Right.
He sent it to pick us up.
That's right.
To us Gentiles, there's not another lifeboat coming. This is it. Yeah. This is it. If you don't grab hold of this one, then, you know, like I said, there's not another lifeboat coming. Not. What can give us what we have, you know, a rapture.
Yeah.
Might come up to as a foolish virgin or something like that, but this message God sent, and it's got what it takes.
Amen.
To do everything God intends for it to do.
Amen.
And so, you know, Brother Bram told us that we live in a golden age. And he talked about this as a golden age, that over and over and over in sermons about the Queen of Sheba and the greater than Solomon is here, he talked so many times about how that gift that when Solomon was there and the gift that he had, of course, you know, Solomon's whole reign was a type of the millennium because they didn't have to fight and so forth. But Brother Ram said that was a golden age for Israel. That was their golden age. Mm-hmm. When God came down in the life of a man who could stand and had the discernment and had the wisdom, and that gift was laying there before the people, that was Israel's golden age. It never got no better than that.
Right.
You understand? What if God did that in our day?
Mm-hmm.
And so Brother Rem was saying that when God sends a gift, if the people will receive that gift and reverence that gift and go with that gift and obey that gift, because a gift is given to you by someone who wants you to have the benefits of that gift. And if God would send down a gift in this world that expresses what only He can do, and He wants you to have that in your midst, He wants you to benefit from it, right?
Yes.
And so if people will receive a gift that's given to them from God, that becomes a golden age to them.
Right.
Absolutely. And so Brother Branham would tell us, you know, that he believed that this was a golden age. And In invisible union of the Bride of Christ, he said, if I would have had a say-so before the foundation of the world, God would have laid it out, the whole program to me, and said, I want you to preach. And now what age do you desire to go to earth to preach? I would have chose this age. For I think this is the golden age. Israel had one.
Yeah.
This is the golden age. Why? Because this is going to usher us into the millennium,
yes.
Right? This is a golden age. He said, I certainly would have loved to have been here during the time of his visitation on earth, but still I think right now is a greater time because it's a time that he's coming to take the people that he's redeemed, and nearing the resurrection when all the redeemed will come forth. What a glorious opportunity that we have to speak to a dying people. A great time. We're enthused about it. And we know that history is closing out. The world's history will soon be over. And then we're going to step into a new day, into the great millennium. That as one believer, I believe in the millennium, a millennium reign with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth. A physical return of the Lord Jesus to take a physical people glorified by his cleansing blood. Amen. That's what we're looking for.
Amen.
Amen. And so we have such a golden age before us, and we want to just receive this gift that God has sent to us as well as we can. And so, you know, we read here in Malachi chapter 3 and 4, we live in the fulfillment of the last part of Malachi 3 and Malachi 4. And so we live in the fulfillment of that time. And just, you know, as for me as a supervisor at work, when I tell my guys something, to do something, or tell them the way it should be, I expect them to take one and go with it.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to be milling around something else. I expect them to listen to what I'm saying. And I'm pretty sure God expects us to listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
Right? And listen to what has been given to us. And so Brother Bam comes along and he's talking about this right here. And he said, the scripture he read there, when they who thought and spake one another of the Lord, that a book of remembrance was written, and he said, I'll spare them. And so in the days that I make up my jewels, and it goes on and it says, for the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And when Brother Branham said that, I've told you this before, and you go listen to it. He said, the Son of Righteousness, and he said it this way so we catch the understanding of what he was talking about. Because this gift, this ministry that has come, this is it.
Right.
This is it. And so this is the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And the way Brother Bram said it when he wanted us to catch this, he said, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing campaigns.
That's right.
The movement that started the whole thing. Mm-hmm. See? The Son of Righteousness is here now, has come with healing in it. What is he here to do? You might get sick of something and God can heal you, but what's the greatest healing that you can have? Well, first of all, is to see healing of your sin-sick soul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the next thing is a total healing of your body, which means giving you a supernatural body change.
Yes. Right.
That ultimately, and this message has come as the healing, Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, with healing campaigns to kick off this movement.
Yes.
That's going to do what he's talking about here.
Right.
And so we're in the fulfillment of these things. And so this is a great time, as I said, a golden age. It's a great time. It's a time when God is making up his jewels.
Right.
Right? Hey, we've talked about this. I'm not going to probably say anything tonight you've not already heard 10,000 times.
Yeah.
But at some point, these things have to stick.
Amen.
At some point, we have to stop talking devil talk and start talking Bible talk.
Amen.
Right? Start putting these things into action in our own lives.
Right.
And so we're at a time now where God is making up his jewels. He's not just sitting around. He's doing something.
Right.
He's doing something with this message.
Yeah.
He's making up his jewels. And he's getting a people ready for rapture. Right? Without this message, you're not going to be ready.
Right.
But he's getting a people ready for rapture. And he's getting a people ready to judge. Because as the scripture said there, then ye shall return and judge between the righteous and the wicked, and them that serve God and those that don't serve him.
Right.
Right? So I ask you, where are you going to return from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people that don't believe in rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is a hard time, a rough time, and it's a time where he said he would spare us. Spare us from what?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're spared and others aren't, what's going to happen to them?
Right.
They're not spared. It's not a childish time.
Right.
It's a rough time.
Amen.
But it's a time when God is making his jewels.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so he'll spare us. We return back from a rapture where he's going to do something in us that when all this curse upon the earth does the things that it's going to do and destroy all the wicked, it will not come to God's people because he's going to spare us. Why? Why? Because the Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in his wings,
yeah.
Right? And God is through that movement, is making us ready to rapture, ready to be able to judge and come back and sit with him on his throne, as we know the scriptures say. That's the hour that we live in right now.
Yes.
Amen. It's a sobering time. It's a time to be sober. You know, the scripture tells you to, and so many times, watch and pray.
Right. Yeah.
Watch and pray.
Right.
Read it. Mm-hmm. Watch and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a dark hour. Watchman on the wall, right? It's and so God is, this is our watchman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's on the wall, and he's telling us what's going on and how to prepare. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
So it's a very sobering time. It is a testing time. Mm-hmm. You know, when God is making up jewels, you know, the whole thing, like I said, I ain't saying anything you don't know already and heard, but they make their jewels by purifying by fire.
That's right.
Gold, silver, get all the stuff out of the dross and things like that. And so this is a time. I mean, through all history, God had all these things, but there's a time mm-hmm. where it's going to be a time where he makes up his jewels.
Yeah.
How do you make up jewels?
Mm-hmm. Right.
By fire.
That's right.
Fire test. Mm-hmm. Fire checks to see what it is.
Right.
And it's a time to see if is it really gold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, in the Bible, gold represents deity. Is it really God?
Yeah.
And I'll say it this way. Is it really God that's in our life?
Come on.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's not God in our life, it's going to burn up.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's what this is. This is the hour we're in. A time of testing and trying to see, is it really God we've got down in our experience?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We believe that. We know that's what it is. Right. But somehow we've got to, as we go through trials and battles every day, we got to stop thinking that this is a bad thing and start realizing this is God.
Right.
This is God making up his jewels, man, testing and trying his people.
Yeah.
Right? Making up his gold and his silver and so forth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith," mm-hmm. the trial of your faith,
right.
the trial of your faith, mm-hmm. being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, mm-hmm. might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith, that trial, not the glorious times, mm-hmm. but the trial is worth more than gold that's purified.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't think about it like that, do we? When you're going through troubles and when things are Satan slapping at you and you're tempted and you're tried and everything on every hand seems like it's going wrong, you're not so. And this is what I'm trying to say. We have got to change our thinking and realize this is a testing time. This is a testing time, and God's making up his jewels. And, you know, precious means rare, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Rare. You don't find it on every corner. Not everybody's got it. Mm-hmm. It's rare.
Right.
That's what makes it valuable, is it's hard to find.
Right.
Right? That's why a good woman, it's very valuable, because she's hard to find, right? You know, in this world.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of them here
yeah.
in our congregation. But outside in the world, they're just not very many,
right?
Right? So something that's rare is valuable mm-hmm. because there's not a lot of it. And it's got qualities about it that you know, make it desirable. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it expensive,
right?
Right? The trial of your faith, more precious, more rare, right? More rare than all these other experiences you have in life and all the things you can do. It's more rare.
Right.
Not everybody has this. Not everybody gets this testing and trying that God is giving to his people. Because
right.
not everybody's going to be on that throne with him.
Right.
Right? Oh, all of a sudden, wait a minute. You mean we're rare people?
Man.
You see what I'm saying? But this is terrible. Things are going bad. God don't love me, my friend, whatever. No, it's a rare thing that God is testing and trying his people to bring them forth as gold, to purify them. So let's say, you know, well, we're all Christians. We got some deity in us. We got God in us, but we got a lot of self in us. Got a lot of other things in us. Right? And so, you know, if God comes and he looks at us, well, I see gold there, but there's all the dross. I don't like that. I got to get that out of there.
Right.
See, God wants to come and He wants to be able to show you and show you to the world, and that's what we do when we have gold or rings or whatever. People see it, right? He wants to show you to the world,
right.
But He doesn't want to show you with a bunch of dross.
Right.
He doesn't want to show you with a bunch of you.
Right.
He wants to show you with deity.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get there? How do you get there? You get there by trials.
Right.
By beating, and you know, like they beat the gold until they could see their reflection.
Yep.
Right? Transparent gold, right? But think about what's going to be in that city.
Yep.
And so you see how this is working there, that it's a rare thing. And so who is this people that God looks down and says, and finds and says, oh, you know, I'm going to test them. What is it that He sees in us? What is it He sees in there that, hey, this is the people that I can test them and I can try them? Because you know, I'm not going to go out here and pick up a piece of iron and start beating on it thinking I'm going to get something out of it.
Right.
Right.
First you have to see. I see there's potential.
Yes.
There's potential, sister.
Uh-huh.
Brothers, sisters.
Amen.
There's potential. That's why it comes.
That's right.
That's why God tests you and tries you, because He sees the potential, but He also sees things in there that can't go there.
Amen.
Can't
Amen.
Sit on that throne.
Right.
That's why you have to go through the things you go. And it might come through work. It might come through family. It might come through friends.
Right.
It all comes from the devil.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a tool in God's hands.
Sure. Yeah.
But the whole thing is, it's like, I've been telling people, you know, that Brother Bram talking about that third Exodus, that a Pharaoh rose up that didn't know Joseph. And Brother Bram said, God lets natural things, natural kings, and come to the throne and do crazy things to fulfill His word.
That's right.
And so I say, look at Washington. God is fulfilling His word. Everything that's going on in this world is preparing the way that God's people, that He can fulfill His word, just exactly what He says He's going to do, what He's promised.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He lets natural men make natural laws and things like that to get everything in place. And He lets your boss do things. He lets your friends do things. And even your own mind does things. And all of that is that pressure to beat that dross out of you, so that nothing that in your experience but God.
Amen.
Amen? That's the way it works. We need to remember that.
Yeah.
And so, who is this people that He chose and says, I see something in them, and He's going to bring them to the place where they can enjoy all these things. Enjoy what? Sitting on His throne, not having to die, have a body change, be the Queen of Heaven.
Yeah.
Right? They can all have this, but how do you get there?
Yeah.
By beating. By the trials and the troubles that come our way, that's worth more than anything that you can come up with in this world.
Yeah.
Amen. 25% of the way done.
That's all right.
Why would God do this? Here we are in Laodicea. Laodicea, an age of easy living, an age where he says you're lukewarm, an age where it's Satan's Eden. And everything is just as hard as it probably is going to get, as far as making it hard for a Christian to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Right? Everywhere you're, it's a flood of ungodliness that you have to swim in every day and keep yourself clean.
Yeah.
Right? That's right. But that's God looked down through all the ages and said, and here it is, he looks and said, yeah, look at all that Satan's eating, and man, he's got everything just honed just right, and man, it's so deceptive, and that's the day that I'm going to come and I'm going to make up my jewels. That's the day that I'm going to call a bride.
Yeah.
In that hour, why would he do that? Right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why he would do that. It's because God is not in the business of failing and being weak.
Right.
That's why. You know, you can't get too bad to where God can't do is fulfill His word.
Amen.
So He chose to do that in this particular time. And so, God's picked out this hard time and all these things. He's poured out all these blessings and so forth. And this is where we find ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, Laodicean condition. He's going to call his people right out in the midst of that. You know, God never gave us armor for our backside.
Right?
You think about it. I know you heard it. He didn't give you armor for your backside.
Right.
Because when you're fighting the enemy, if you turn and run, he's got a clear shot to get you.
Right.
You have no protection when you run.
That's right.
I know this is stern. This is what he gave me. There's no room to run.
Right.
There's no room to quit.
Right.
Right? You might fall, but get back up, but you don't run.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And every one of us feel like running sometimes.
Yeah.
I do, Brother Daniel. See?
Yeah.
Every one of us. See? We're all tested and tried. I know. Jesus had a will. Said, if it be thy will, you know, let this cup pass from me, because he didn't want that. See, we all have a will, but our will has to be submitted to God's will.
Amen.
We understand that. And so, he didn't give us armor for the back, so there's no retreating.
Right.
That's a word for, like, you know, armies and fighting and whatever. No retreating, no quitting, no wimps.
Right.
Right? No deserters.
Right.
Right? You know what a deserter is? I looked at the definition of it. It's the action of illegally leaving their armed forces. That's one of the definitions. Mm-hmm. So people who, they have a responsibility as a soldier, as being in the military, is a responsibility. And even when it gets hard and the fights and the bullets flying everywhere, that's when people want to leave, right? When it gets tough.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, they want to leave when it gets tough.
Uh-huh.
Right? But so in the armed forces, you have an obligation, and you can't just leave.
Right.
If you just leave, you're a deserter.
Right.
And during the time of the Civil War, you know what they do to deserters?
Mm-hmm.
They were executed.
That's right.
Yeah. Pretty serious matter. Why? Because when you as a soldier fighting your fellow soldiers and your families and your country, they're dependent on it.
Yes.
Right? And so, and you're going to turn around and run?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tough gets bad. Satan's going to start hitting at you with something. I'm done. I don't want this.
Uh-huh. Come on.
And deserters, you know what happens to deserters, right?
Right.
We sang about it. No cowards in God. That song, you know, keep on the firing line.
Amen.
Cowards will have no place or whatever it is. Yeah. I don't remember the words exactly. Right? So you understand. We found ourselves here at this time, and this is the hour.
Right.
This is the hour where things are tough. This is the hour where God's going to get out of his people gold.
Amen.
And that's it, see? But the only way to do that is for us to go through these things until what's in us becomes more and more of God every day, until that's all there is God. Because
yeah.
We can't take anything else there that doesn't belong. The only thing that can go, and so he's the only one who can do it. He's the only one that can mold us and make us, and that's what he's doing. You may not feel that way.
Right.
When you feel like quitting and running and turning, and whatever, when that happens, that's just wrong thinking. We've got to change our thinking and realize, praise God, right? Praise God. Yes. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We got to remember these things. And so you ought to count it a blessing when you're persecuted. And people don't just have to, you're a Christian. It's not just that. It's anything that Satan throws your way.
Sure.
So persecute you. You sisters especially, the way you dress, if he tries to strike, that is standing for Christ, and you're suffering for Christ.
Amen.
When those things happen like that.
Yes.
And so Brother Bam tells us, in the God of this evil age, he said, now notice, Satan's not called the God of any other age but this age. He's God, the God of this evil age.
Yeah.
It was his ambition to be like God from the beginning. And Brother Ben said, what would God call a people out of this age for? Why would he do that? Like I said a while ago, why would he call us out of Laodicea? Why would he call people out of this age for his name? The reason is to try her, his bride, and when she's made manifest and been tried and been proved to Satan like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. As a seed starts in the ground and comes up through the carriers, the life of it But it ends up the same seed that it was when it went into the ground. Same thing that started is what you come up with at the end.
Right.
And so she's to be tested and tried.
That's right.
And he's doing it in this evil age. So here we are. God is here. We're in this age, and God has not left us all out here in Baptists and all these different things. He's not left us all drifting around and what. But God has introduced into every one of our lives the message.
Amen.
The word to do it.
Right.
He's brought this across our pathway.
Right now.
Right? There's all millions of people never heard of it, but he's brought it across our pathway, and he's given you a church and a ministry to preach this to you.
Right.
Right? Right. He's done these things, and because of that, he's now calling for this from you.
Yes.
He's calling for you to begin to manifest the life of the word that he's brought to you.
Amen.
The life that is preached to you.
Yes. Amen.
That's what he's doing. He's calling for that. He won't call for something from you that he's not providing.
That's right.
Right? But he's calling for that from you now. Right? Mm-hmm. And so that you can express him, because that's what it does.
Right, yeah.
So that you can express him, so that you can become the queen of heaven, so that you don't have to die. You can take a body change.
Right.
So that you can get ready to come back and rule and reign and judge the world and judge angels. Yeah. Right? He's done all these things, and all we want to do is complain when things don't go our way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on, brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We live in a golden age.
Yeah.
But we're interpreting it wrong. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're not seeing it right.
Right.
I want to see through the eyes that the prophet said. He said, I would pick this day.
Yeah.
Now, he's seen a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And God did a lot in his life, and he spoke to the Lord every day. He saw a lot of things, a lot of miracles like you and I could just dream of.
Yeah.
And he said, this was the greatest day. Mm-hmm. I think we should keep our nose to the word.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Until we come out with the same idea.
Yes.
This is a golden day for us, a golden opportunity, and God can work and do things through us if we just have the right attitude about
Amen.
It.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is not in the business of making sure everything goes your way.
Right.
Because that's not going to work. As you've heard me say many times, you take a lump of clay and you put it on the potter's wheel, and it's just a big old chunk. Try to pour you some milk in that and drink out of it.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
No.
In that form, it won't work. That's what the typology of the potter is.
Right.
It won't work. But to get from that to the form of something that is useful,
yeah,
it takes pressure. It takes something to change the shape of that clay. And we're clay.
Right.
See, it takes pressure from God's hand to make you different than what you want to be.
That's right.
You just want to be you. Because that's the shape you're in.
Right.
But he has to change that. And it only comes from spinning you on that wheel and putting that pressure. And sometimes he may have to pick you up and just slam you to the back down onto that thing and go to working like that. And see, even if he took, you know, the scripture said, doesn't the potter have power over the clay to make it whatever he wants? Right? He can take out the same piece of clay and make a vessel to drink water out of, and take the rest of the chunk and make a bedpan out of it.
That's right. Yeah.
But either in both cases, it takes pressure from God's hand to make whatever. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And we don't want any pressure.
Yeah.
We don't want God dealing with us. We don't want God changing nothing. I'm speaking to myself because I've been having some rough times lately myself.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And so you have to understand, we don't want those things. But it's not going to happen unless we endure these things, because God is molding us, making us, changing us. We're not going to stay the way we are.
Amen.
Things in this world aren't staying the same.
No.
Right? Everything's changing, so we might as well get on board with God and let him change us the way he wants, instead of the world changing us the way they want.
Right.
You might as well. Amen. And so, if there's no pressure, there's no molding, no making, that pressure has to come. Then when it does, we want to quit.
Right.
See? Like I said a while ago, that's devil talk. We got to start talking Bible talk.
Man.
We have to stop counting our trials and struggle as a bad thing. Every one of us. You have to be honest. When bad, well, this is bad. No, it's not bad.
Right.
Yeah, if you're looking from a worldly thing and want to be established in the world and the flesh and all that, yeah, it looks like bad things, but you've got to stand back and look through God's program.
That's right.
And you'll realize that all things work together for the good that them are called, right?
Amen.
Those that are ordained to be conformed to his image.
Right.
And so, what if every time you went through a trial, you could look over and you got your bank account at the bank, right?
Uh-huh.
And every time somebody persecuted you, every time something didn't go your way, cha-ching, more money went in your bank account. Somebody come up and said, you're a low-down Christian, or whatever, cha-ching, more money in your bank.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying literally,
yeah.
Right? Somebody walk up and slap you, cha-ching, more money in your bank.
Uh-huh.
You would embrace it.
Right.
Come, slap me, talk bad about me. Right, because cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Right. Yeah.
You'd be doing that.
Exactly.
But this is what I'm telling you.
Yes.
More precious than gold that perishes.
Amen.
When these things come your way, they're more precious and we want to run from it.
Right.
No, you understand what I'm saying. Start talking Bible talk.
Amen.
And take it for what the scripture says.
Right.
Because our bank account is increasing. And God's a kingdom, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Here, you know, some of us, me and Brother Tim, you know, we kind of, a lot of talk lately about retirement, how to do it. And our sisters had to deal with that here recently. And just retirement, brother, sister, we got a retirement.
Yeah.
Right? I know you have to deal with that here, but we've got a retirement,
yeah.
Right? And every day as we live for the Lord, there's more of it being there, more put there, more put there to take care of us when we get there.
Amen.
Right? So we have to call it all natural type spiritual.
Right.
And so, you know, we as ministers, Brother Daniel and I both, we understand that we get these same darts thrown at us.
Yes, sir.
Right? So we understand what these things are about.
Yeah.
And so we can't serve God and man.
No.
Right? Let me say it in another way. We can't, as I've been talking a whole lot here lately about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. So you can't serve God and man. You can't walk in the Spirit and in the flesh
right.
at the same
right.
time. Because the scripture tells you, Romans, they're contrary one to the other.
Right.
Right? You can't do that. I didn't have her put it up here, but I'll refer to it in Matthew chapter 13, the parable about the sower going out and throwing seeds out. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And so the first category was he went out and threw it all out on the wayside and birds came and, you know, stole it out. That's where Satan comes along, takes the word out of their heart, and it doesn't do anything. The next one was where some fell among stones. And when it fell among stones, yeah, it quickly come up, was going to grow and become something. But when trials and things came like that, it didn't have the ability to draw the moisture it needed. And so it died. And, you know, and so that's where... Jesus said whenever people are happy to be Christian, but then when trials come, they can't stand it, and so they just fade away.
Right.
Right? And so the third category was the seeds that fell among thorns. And so, yeah, it fell among there. It was in, you know, and it had good roots and everything, and it grew, and persecution didn't bother it too much or whatever, but it got choked by the cares of life and the deceitful of riches. Right?
Right.
And then the fourth category was that it fell on good ground and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold.
Yeah.
Right? So, the thing of it is there is wasn't anything wrong with the seed.
Right.
The parable's not about the seed not being good seed.
Right.
There wasn't nothing wrong with, and this is the word, because the word is like the seed. There's nothing wrong with the word.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with the word that you read in the Bible, what you hear Brother Brown. There's nothing wrong with the word that's preached over this pulpit.
Right.
Right?
Right? But it's the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's the condition of the person
right.
that the word's being preached to.
That's right.
Right?
Because right? if it's the right kind of ground, that word will produce.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Got to speak Bible speak, right? Talk like the Bible talks.
Right.
So, got to quit, you know, just getting some other. No, this is the Word, and the Word says there's nothing wrong with the seed, but it's the ground.
Yeah.
Right? And so I ask you, what ground are you? What ground are you? There's enough word spoke across this pulpit to change the whole world.
Amen.
What ground are you?
Right.
Now think about that. Because your vineyard is your responsibility.
That's right, brother.
Right?
Right? Your vineyard is your responsibility. And so, you know, that's like we say, you know, that we talk about how you, that man called me a buzzard. Well, he called me, same words, called me an eagle. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you perceive this word? How do you perceive this message? How do you perceive these things in this golden age I'm talking about? How are you perceiving this? Are you perceiving it as terrible things? Or are you perceiving it as this is God moving us to that day that we're looking for?
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference. And so, when you take a stand for the word is what's tested.
That's right.
I want to make you very clear to understand this. You have nothing to stand with. You. You have nothing that you can grab to win this fight. Mm-hmm. And God knows that. And he's not asking you to do it.
Come on.
He's asking you to let him come in and let him do it.
Amen.
He's saying to you, this word will do it if it's the right kind of ground.
Yes.
Right.
Right? He's saying, let this come and let him do it. Because when you take a stand for God, the pressure's coming.
Right.
But it's not you.
Come on.
It's not you that's being tested. Right. It's the word that you embrace.
That's it. Amen.
Right? And the word can't fail.
That's right.
But if you turn and run from the word,
Come on.
You run away from it, then what can it do for you?
Right.
The word is what's being tested.
Amen.
Brother Ram says in proving his word, he said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Satan tried every scheme to make him discredit this. I'm talking about Jesus being tempted. Satan tried everything that he could to make him discredit it. He tried to get him to take the kingdom without suffering. And we're talking about trials and things, right? Words being tried, tested. Satan tried to get him to take the kingdom without suffering. Tried to get him to take it without redemption. You remember what he's talking about there when he took him up in a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give every bit of that to you if you worship me. Mm-hmm. And Satan had it.
Yeah.
Right? He could have done that.
Sure.
So here's Jesus. And Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. He's now hungry. Mm-hmm. He's now being tested about, you know, stones into bread. And so in these three temptations, which corresponds to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And here at this temptation there, and Jesus is weak and all this. And Jesus is here to gain the whole world, gain us, the whole thing, right? To get to win the whole thing back. He's here to do that. And he knows he's going to suffer. And then here's this opportunity. Well, why suffer? I'm talking about intellect. Intellect. Reason would say, well, I mean, that's what I'm here to redeem.
Right.
Why would I suffer if he's just going to give it to me? Right? That's what Satan was trying to get him to do.
Sure.
Yeah. Satan was trying, as listen to what the prophet is saying, as I read it again, but Satan was trying to get Jesus to get to the same thing, but without shedding of blood, without trial, without trouble, tribulation. Tried to get him to take the kingdom without suffering. Tried to get him to take it without redemption. When it was God's plan in the Garden of Eden, when he killed the lamb, that only by blood would he take it.
Right.
And he even promised him all the kingdoms of the world.
Yeah.
See? Boy, if that was us, and we operated in reason like we do so much of the time, we'd say, okay. But you've got to understand the program of God.
Right.
And the program of God does not put you there without suffering.
Right.
Amen.
Right? He walked up Calvary for us. We don't have to do that, right?
Right. Right.
He went there as a sinner. We'll never have to die as a sinner unless we reject him. Mm-hmm. Follow me?
That's right.
Right.
We might leave this world and go to the grave, but leave it with the Holy Spirit in our life.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't have that.
Right.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
We don't have to do that.
Right.
He did it for us.
That's right.
But
yeah.
We do have to be identified with him in suffering.
Right.
And trials and tribulation and temptations.
Yeah.
And he's able to secure us, or however that word is, out of every one of them, because he knows.
Right.
Right? So there you have it. His whole thing is just let him come and live in you and let him deal with these things. Right?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do, is let him deal with these things. Brother Ram tells us, and this is an exposition of the seven church ages. The Smyrnian age. This is a quote that you're familiar with, but it seemed good to bring in here because it came to me when I was pondering all these things. And according to Paul, he has left the church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to the place of perfection. Let me read that again. According to Paul, He has left the church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to the place of perfection. Why did he want this? James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire." You know what entire means? Complete. Wanting nothing. So he says, why does he stand by? Why as we go through things, why would he stand by? Well, here's why. The reason is in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, 18. "And if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him."
Right.
You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule.
Right.
And since he wants us, listen to this, and since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and sat down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him.
Right.
And the little temporary sufferings that we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. What treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation.
Amen.
Amen. John, which is the type of the bride, John in chapter Revelation 1, verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos." Mm-hmm. See what happened to him. John said there, Jesus said this in John chapter 16, St. John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Yeah.
Right? Why be of good cheer? Because he who has overcome the world has promised to come and live us in us.
Amen.
Be of good cheer, because you've got the one in you that knows how to overcome.
That's right.
Right? But not if you turn around and run.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Not if you turn around and run. And then, as we said there in Romans, if children and heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, then we may be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a golden age we have.
Yes.
Amen. By faith, I said Sunday morning at the end of service, I mentioned that we're in an Exodus. And when that death angel comes and tries to knock at your door, don't you go there to answer the door.
Right.
You send the word. You send Christ. You send the blood.
Yeah.
Right? The life that's in the blood.
Amen.
You send that to the door. Let him deal with the death angel.
Amen.
Right? But so much is time, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why we turn around and run. Because we're not letting him have these things. We're not, if you're not totally surrendered, then, you know, if your arm's sticking out past the blood, mm-hmm. that death angel might get your arm.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
See, all of us have to be in.
Yes.
Amen.
And we've got to learn how to get all of us in. We've got to learn how to surrender all of us to this word and not still have something sticking out.
Right.
You understand? And so, you know, people, so much in our day, so people are so much trying to measure Christianity and try to measure churches and movements of God, and they try to measure it with signs and wonders, healings and miracles. And denominations have that.
Right.
But let us see this side
mm-hmm.
of people who have the character of Christ even in trial,
right.
even in deep trial.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let us see that. That's a miracle,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Let's just bow our hearts for prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time around your word. Pray, Lord, that these words, Lord, that they would stick to the hearts of your people. They would think on these things. And Lord, I know me as in my nature feel being stern tonight to try and bring these things out, but these are your words, Lord. And I realize that in this hour, we get to take heed of these things. And so, Lord, just pray that your people receive this and,
yes.
Lord, that they would think about it. Go back and listen to it again. Search these scriptures to see if it's so. Lord, may they find a way in their lives to gain ground, to surrender more to you. Because we know, Lord, the more they surrender, the more that their fears will go and the more that you'll work in their lives. Lord, they're hungry for a move of God. And I pray, Lord, that you just show each one of us how to gain that ground, how to have that move, that it would be a genuine move, not something that's just, that could be imitated, something that's just, but the real thing. Because, Lord, what we want is to have that real character of your nature, no matter what happens. We want to be able to express you to this world, even in deep trial. And we're asking, Lord, you just keep giving us the word. Keep letting us have the experiences that will cause these things to take place in our life. But Lord, as we go through these trials and tribulations and troubles, may we remember that they're more precious than any kind of gold, any kind of treasure this world could give us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Great is our God. Thank you.
It's already